Blog Talk Radio.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Oh,
Hallelujah. Well, we serve a mighty, mighty God, don't we? Amen. This is Dr. Ventura, Sound Doctrine Broadcast. We're coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, Inverness, Florida, South Carolina. And we've got Ladies' Night, Christian Night. We look forward to this every month. And it's an exciting time, and we're in an exciting time in the world and in Christianity. There's so much going on in the world. There are so many people without hope, and we just thank God that we know the Lord. We thank God that He blesses us every week, and He carries us through, and we're grateful to the Lord. And we want to thank the listening audience around the world and those in the United States of America, and we want to thank you for your input, for our going back and archiving the broadcast. We know a lot of people have told us that, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, we're 6 o'clock on the West Coast, so 9 o'clock's a little late, and they go back and they archive the program. We want to welcome you. You're welcome to call in. I'll give you the number now. It's 347-945-5416. And if you'll press extension 1, you can get right into the host queue, and you can talk to our host, Sister Joanne, or co-host Sister Marilyn. And we have a special guest with us this evening, a young lady who's loves the Lord, lives for Jesus Christ, is an example in her Christian class, and helps out around the church, and is an example to the other children for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the young lady's 10 years old. Her name is Savannah Bruff. And she's got a heart for the Lord, and we want to welcome her, and we're going to allow Savannah to come on tonight and to pray us in. I believe that Sister Joanne is teaching on Hannah, and she teaches every month. We've been studying a different woman, women in the Bible, and lessons that are practical, not just doctrinal or spiritual, but practical lessons that when, if you stay with the whole program, I guarantee you by the time you are done with this program, you'll have something practical to apply to your life as a Christian woman, and that you will be able to serve the Lord better and have a better understanding of the scriptures and just what the plan of God is for your individual life. The will of God is for everybody to be holy, all Christians, but He has a specific plan. And sometimes when you listen to somebody teaching on a subject, the Holy Spirit can give you enlightenment and revelation as to what your purpose is in your Christian walk. And maybe perhaps you can relate to Hannah and the story about Hannah and the lesson that Sister Joanna has this evening. And so I'm not going to hold up the program any longer. I'm going to turn this phone over right now, the microphone to Sister Savannah, and she's going to pray you all in, and then we'll turn it over to Sister Joanna and Marilyn.
Thank you.
Savannah?
Okay. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this night, and we want to bless those people that are going to be preaching right now. And people who are out there who are sick right now. And we want to thank God for everything we have. And in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you, lady. We certainly appreciate that. they say the gray hair is the wisdom of the church and the youth is the strength. Amen.
Amen.
And it's good in it. And when so many young ladies are going astray, and we don't have a good moral examples on our televisions and radios for our children to follow, that they would follow Jesus, and that their mothers and fathers and grandparents and other Christians in the church would lead by example. And that's how these young ladies are growing up in the church, and we just thank God for that. And I'm going to turn this over to Sister Joanna. Sister Joanna, the Lord bless you. And
thank you.
And here's Sister Marilyn. She's standing here a little anxious, waiting to go. So I'm going to turn it over to the listening audience. Amen.
Okay,
God bless
listen,
you all.
I want to go ahead and be sure we're on the 17th of December, right? The third Thursday, the 17th?
Yes.
Okay, I want to be sure of that. And our next lady will be Mary, Jesus' mother. Some really, really good information, and I pray be a blessing as we look at her. She's a good example, for us. So, okay, you girls ready?
We're ready. Let's fire them
okay.
up.
We're in the first book of Samuel in chapter 1. And it's kind of lengthy reading, but I wanted to, we'll make some comments as we go through, and then some application at the end. Two wonderful things I've learned from Hannah that I pray will be a blessing to you as you raise your children, for those of you who are raising children, and then for those of us who have, ours are grown, but still we have input into their lives as they raise their children, and we help with our grandchildren. What a joy that is. And Hannah is a beautiful example and shows us a lot about what to do with our children. So I don't know how much have you ever studied Hannah, Sister Marilyn?
I have just recently, and it's very interesting to see how prayer has changed her life and what it
Amen.
Did for her.
Amen. Amen. Well, to me, it was a we forget that these people are human beings. I mean, they were not, these people were not saints. And this lady that we're looking at tonight, I just marveled at her grace, and that's what her name means. Hannah means grace. So I just marveled as I watched with a spiritual eye that her story developed in my life and what she taught me. So I pray this will be a blessing to you. These names that are hard, I will probably just slaughter them because I am not good pronouncing them. So forgive me. There's some long names in here. So just bear with me as I read them. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramah Amazophim of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephratite. His name, Elkanah, is the husband, and his name means provided of God. Names always fascinate me in the Bible. So here's grace living with provided of God. I think that's a neat combination. But here's his problem. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This Peninnah, her name means pearl. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. So she had several children. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, so she had no children. Here's an interesting contrast in my Bible, and I'm sure it will be the same in yours. On the same page in my Bible, in verse 5, it says the Lord shut up Hannah's womb. If you will look at the book right before us, Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. So I learned from this, the Lord controls the womb. Sometimes we think we do, but on those just on, don't even have to turn the page. Learned where our birth control comes from, and I marvel at that. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. So this Peninnah kind of taunted Hannah. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So this woman made fun or or taunted Hannah, and to the point that it made her cry, that it hurt her feelings so bad, because she had no children. It was not her fault. And that was a real stigma in that day, not to have children. So Hannah was in a bad way with this. I'm sure, too, you know, little pitchers have big ears, as my mom used to say, and the children probably heard her and also mocked Hannah, which was, I mean, the Bible doesn't say so. That's my speculation, but I can't imagine them not, with hearing it, not doing it, because I've seen kids like that. Verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when he went up the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? And am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Is that not just like a man? I mean, mm-hmm. Here's this lady, her heart is broken, and he's saying, you know, you shouldn't miss kids. I'm really good to you. I want to make a comment. Well, I'll make it a little bit later. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. So he's sitting outside of the temple watching who's going in and coming out. And Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now this lady is in, she is, I'm sure many of you have prayed like that. Your soul is really heavy, and you're just really pouring your heart out to the Lord, and Eli is watching her. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now, can you imagine your preacher saying that to you? As you're praying and you're moving your mouth, but words are not coming out because your heart is so heavy. And this guy's sitting there watching you and makes a remark like that to you. Verse 15, And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial or a daughter of the devil, for out of abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, which his name means asked of God, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up with the child until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, if we can just stop for just a minute, if you can imagine just this whole scene that we've just read. Here's a woman, no children, and her the wife of the other wife of the husband makes fun of her. She prays. The priest thinks she's drunk, and she real kindly answers him and says, "No, I'm my heart is just broken. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord." Thank goodness Eli did speak in behalf of her and was kind to her after that encounter. But can you imagine how she felt? And then when she finally got this little boy, and I don't know about you ladies, but I had a son, and I can just, I have run this scene in my head hundreds of times just thinking about taking that little boy to the temple and turning and walking away. I mean, yeah. Can you even imagine that? Yeah. And I know she told the Lord that's what she was going to do, and I understand the promise and I understand her faithfulness, but can you imagine doing that? It just blew me away when I thought about it. A couple of things I wanted to call your attention to in Hannah's life. Her humiliation in verse 6 when this woman mocked her and made fun of her. And then Hannah's husband in verse 8 saying, you know, you should be happy because you got me. I mean, can I tell you guys something? You cannot make your husband happy, nor can your husband make you happy. If you depend on them for your happiness, guess who you're going to pull down? The Lord makes our relationship with the Lord makes us happy. And because we're happy and satisfied in our love for the Lord, our husbands, our children, our neighbors make us happy. Because when we love the Lord, we know that these people that he has in our life are there for a reason. Not only for us to love and enjoy, but we serve a purpose in their life, and they serve a purpose in yours, and you serve a purpose as you serve God together. Mm-hmm. And that should make you very joyful. I mean, there should be great joy when you and your husband, you and your children, you and your neighbors, you and your church family are serving the Lord together. But I can guarantee you, if you look to just one of those people in that congregation or just to your husband to make you happy, that's not going to make, you're going to drag him down and he's going to drag you down. So if I can give any of you ladies tonight, if your husbands are living, you please look to the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is what makes you attractive and makes you a wonderful wife. I have a friend who has been trying to reach her husband for years, and she's her method has been with no joy. She's just so burdened for his soul that she just can't hardly be happy. And she and I were talking, and she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, let him know that you love him. He's your husband. And let him know you love the Lord and you're thankful God gave you him. And be happy. Show some joy in that relationship. And she told me the other day, she said, I finally mustered up some happiness.
And
and she said, it has been better. So that's just some advice that I've learned through the years. And then the third thing that I saw there was Hannah's humility when Eli accused her of being drunk. Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If that had been me, I think I'd have been a roaring lion. That would have just made me so mad, me sitting there praying and him thinking I'm drunk. But her response was just beautiful and showed a lot of reverence and for her pastor, for her priest. She was very kind to him and did not show any irreverence and no disrespect to him in her answer, which is a wonderful way for us to respond to those kind of remarks. And you know, just shows the grace of God in her life. And then in verse in 2 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, she sings this beautiful song. And when we study Mary next month, you'll notice a lot of her phrases are just like these that Hannah says tonight. And this is a beautiful prayer. And Hannah prayed in chapter 2, verse 1. It was called Hannah's Song of Thanksgiving. So this is a good message for Thanksgiving. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." Her strength is exalted in the Lord. "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Is that not the truth? "Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." She's kind of giving a little jab there, but rejoicing that the Lord has given her this child, and he's as good, he's perfect, is what she's saying. This child is perfect. Verse 6, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory." She said he brings people absolutely from the garbage. And boy, have we seen that in our lives as we work with people in my life, how the Lord delivered me and helped me from a trashy life. And I'm very grateful to him for that. And that's what she's saying here. He brings people away from that garbage life. Thank God for that. And to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Listen to this, ladies. This should make us run the streets shouting glory. He will keep the feet of his saints. God will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. She's given a prophecy there in verse 10 about the coming of the Messiah. And then in verse 11, "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." Let me just read this next verse to kind of give us, because of some remarks I'll make so that you know why I make them. "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now here's Eli with two sons. They were horrible boys. And if you read on through the first two or three chapters, you'll see what happens to them because of their wickedness. But if we can stop for just a minute and kind of survey what I've read, does Brother Peter need to take a break?
Peter, do you need to take a break?
Let me just...
Sure, just take a break real quick.
Okay, hon.
In case somebody needs to get a glass of water or take a break.
Okay.
Amen. Great lesson, sister. Great lesson so far.
Thank you.
I just want to let the callers know that they can call in. Don't be bashful. I know
Amen.
Some people chat, and they'll go to the chat box, and they'll talk to Nathan, and they'll, you know, ask questions. But you can call in, and we'd love to hear from
sure
you.
Sure would.
Not, if you don't know Jesus, call in and talk to one of these ladies. We certainly have something for you. Amen.
Amen.
And we have some literature we'll send you. We are free of charge. We're not looking to make any money. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ here. And it's freely given to us and freely given to you. The number here is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And if you'll press 1, extension 1, you'll come right into the host queue, and Nathan will put you right through. And you can talk to one of the ladies. I'll speak to you. Even Savannah's still here. And she's got the Bible out in her notes, and she's learning, and we're all growing together. So we'd love to hear from you. Don't be radio shy. We can't see you. We just hear your voice. But we like to hear it from you. And I'm going to turn this back to the ladies because it's just too good. God's great. Okay, Sister Joanna.
All right, so thank you. This is kind of the halfway point for us, too, so halfway point in the lesson, so that was a good break. Okay, so what can we learn? What is Hannah's life? What is it saying to us? If you'll notice her husband had two wives, so she's living. Can you ladies just even imagine that? I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard my mama used to say the kitchen's not big enough for two women when I used to try to help her cook. I learned real quick that the kitchen's just big enough for one woman, so I can only imagine a home with two wives. And then the children, this lady had several children evidently, and then we learn later on that Hannah had more children. I can't remember right this minute, and I don't see it. I didn't mark it here in my scroll. Here it is in verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. But our focus, but so she had, that's five more children, six actually she had, and this lady had several children. So can you imagine a home like that? And This is what I learned from that. Just because the culture said that it was okay to have two wives, that wasn't what God said. And the culture we live in does not make living conditions right. Just because the culture allowed the two wives, look at the problems it presented to Hannah and Elkanah. The Bible says that he loved her more than Peninnah. So, you know, Peninnah knew that. So you can imagine how that made her feel. And then here's Hannah, no children, the resentment there toward Peninnah's children. So can you imagine that household? Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine the tension there because of that situation? So the point I want to make here is that even though the culture said that was okay, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to have two wives just because the culture said that he could. What did God say about marriage? They had the law, and this is what God says in Genesis 1:18 and verse 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." So God recognized that we need each other, men and women. We need each other, and marriage is wonderful. The verse 24 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So God said that we leave all others and stay with our mate, and then serve the Lord. We serve each other. We serve the Lord, and we serve each other. Jesus affirmed his father's words in Matthew 19:4-6, and he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So from the beginning there was a man and a woman, male and female, and that's who married. And said, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The two of them shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." So God from the beginning said that one man and one woman make a marriage. And this culture said that it was okay because they're in these pagan cultures that believed in that more than one wife. And they did not have to practice that. Just because the culture says things is okay. It's that old, you remember when you were little and you'd want to do something or younger and you'd go home and tell your mom, you know, I want to do this, and she'd say, well, everybody's, you know, you can't do that. And you would say, well, everybody's doing it. And I don't know about your mom, but my mom's answer was, well, if everybody jumps in the lake, are you going to jump in the lake? You know, something like that.
Yep.
So the culture should not dictate what we do as believers. We should obey the word of God. The Bible is our guide, not the culture. What does the culture say today about marriage? The culture says today it's okay for people to live together outside of the boundaries of marriage, and it's acceptable. But God's word does not agree with that. God says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye should abstain from fornication, which is sexual impurity, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. That's a strong sexual desire. It's a state of lust, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. The Bible says we should not live in that state. We should not feed our minds and our bodies that kind of food. We should feed our bodies on God's word, feed our minds on God's word, and let God's word direct how we live out his word in our body. Then it says there that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us into uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Now, can I give you a Joanna Woody version of what I just read? Thank you. So we can break that down a little bit, because it sounds, we don't use some of those words. That fornication I've heard, but concupiscence, I don't hear that word. It's a state, it's a horrible word. It's a horrible way to live. And this is what it's saying. You are urged in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, and even though you may be living right now, to do so even more. Remember what we, your teachers and your preachers, the people who love you and want you to have the best in your life, remember what they have taught you by the authority of Jesus Christ and his word. Your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, is not going to not want you to have fun and enjoy life. They're trying to keep you pure so that you can have fun and enjoy your life. It is God's will for you to be holy, to stay away, avoid, run from all sexual sin, control our bodies and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like those who don't know Christ do. It goes on to say, and this is what that is, that let no man go beyond and defraud his brother. It's never to cheat or harm a Christian brother or sister by violating their body, for the Lord avenges all such sins. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives, even if today's society says it's okay. Mm-hmm. And you and I know tonight that that's what society is saying. It's okay to live together and not marry. And it is rampant, and it is hurting our young people. It's hurting marriages. Even though the culture says it's okay, just like in Hannah's day, the culture said it was okay for them to live like that. But look at the problems it presented to Hannah and to Elkanah and to Peninnah. The Bible says plain that Elkanah loved Hannah more. And can you imagine, ladies, living in a household where you know your husband loves the other woman better? Can you imagine that? And I mean, that's hard. And that, but the culture said it's okay. But does that mean it's okay just because the culture says it's okay for our kids to live together, for people to live together? And I know older people that are doing it, and they have told me that they don't, if they get married, they have to give up one of the Social Security checks. So they live together so they can draw both Social Security checks. And that just killed me when I heard that for that, whatever that pitiful amount of money is, that you're willing to live out of the grace of God. I can't, anyway. But that culture says it's okay. So this is what I learned from Hannah. Even though it says it's okay, that doesn't make it right. Another thing that I learned from Hannah was don't raise your children to live like the culture that you're living in. Now, here's this little boy. Like I told you in the beginning, cannot imagine taking my three-year-old son, especially where Hannah took him, back to this temple. And here's Eli, the man that accused her of being drunk. He's got two of the worst boys in the community. I mean, it is well known how bad his sons are and how disrespectful they are to the poor, how disrespectful they are to the people who come to worship. And here is Hannah taking this precious little three or four-year-old boy, and leaving him with Eli. Have you ladies ever thought about that?
I've had to leave my children while I was in the military, and I'll tell you what, it's one of the hardest things to do when you leave your children with someone else.
But can you imagine? Could you imagine leaving your child with a man that had accused you of being drunk? That just blew me away when I thought, and then that his boys were wrecks. Both his sons were just absolute wrecks. And here's this precious little innocent four-year-old boy leaving that little child in that. And yet, because she made this promise to God, this woman is remarkable. She's a remarkable lady. So how could she do that? Let me read you verse 27 and 28, and you'll see how she could do it. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent. My translation says, that identifies my word, says, returned him, whom I have obtained by petition from the Lord. I am returning him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The little boy worshiped the Lord there. It was his mother's, this announcement that she made over him as she brought him back to Eli. But did you hear what she said? She didn't say she was bringing him to Eli, did she?
No.
She said, I'm bringing him to the Lord. I'm returning him to the Lord. In essence, she said, I asked this boy of the Lord, and he gave him to God. Was good and gave me this boy. I made the promise that I would give him back to the Lord, and that's what I'm doing. I'm returning him to the Lord. She could leave Samuel with Eli because she wasn't leaving him with Eli. She was leaving him with God. Marilyn, if I can say this, and I pray this was probably what you did, you could leave your children because you were doing what you were supposed to do, but you were trusting those people that had them to take care of them. And as I thought about my son, because I was a single mom for years, I had to leave him at daycare. Some of the workers there were I was leery of. I just didn't like their looks, or I was poor, so I didn't have the best of workers the best of daycares because I had to get what I could pay for. But I can tell you this. Before I took him in there, I put my hand on his head and prayed that God would keep him safe. And my God kept him safe in places that I didn't always want to leave him. So we do the same thing with our kids. You can send them. As Jesus said, we're in the world. We're not of the world. When I realized that my son was not my property, he belonged to God. My son was a gift from God. And my place in his life was as I was his mother, but I was to be a good steward of what God gave me. I was to raise my son because he would not live with me forever. So from very young, I started raising him to live in society. I wanted him to know how to work. I wanted him to know how to treat people. I wanted him to know how to learn. I wanted him to know how to win, how to lose. And all of that came from the teaching that we got at church. I had wonderful pastors and wonderful teachers that would bring these subjects up, and then it would give me and my son opportunity to talk about them or give me an opportunity to ask my son, what did you think of what the preacher said today about not having sex before you marry? What did you think of that? And it opened up a lot of doors that would have been hard for me to enter on my own. But because these men of God were faithful and preached what the Word of God teaches, it gave me opportunity to talk through some very difficult subjects to my son, because my son was God's property. And as a good steward, I needed to take care of God's property. And to do that, I had to be aware of some of the things that he would face as a young man, hitting women. I told him real young, when he was real young, that men don't hit women. And I told him, I said, if a girl does something to you, hits you at school or whatever, you leave the room. Just get out of the room. Don't ever hit her back. Even if she's mean, even if she's hitting you because she's mean, even if she's bigger than you, don't hit her back. You leave. You don't hit, under no circumstances do you hit a woman. And he told me, he said, Mom, I can't tell you the number of times that I would talk to boys, and they would tell me they had hit a girl, and I would tell them, my mom taught me not to do that because it's not right before God. Men don't hit women. And we have these opportunities to take this property that God has given us and be good stewards. And that's what Hannah did, even though she left him there to grow up. Now, I have some heavenly videos, and I hope when you and I get to heaven together that maybe God will let all of us meet, and we'll go meet Hannah, because I would like to ask her what she talked about to that little boy when she would go back. The Bible says she went back every year and took him a little coat. And, you know, we have pictures of that. I did when I was growing up as a child of Samuel and those little coats that his mother would bring him. But I would love to know what she talked to him about. Here she's left him, and I'm sure she, as the years went by, that she would explain to him why she left him. Samuel became a great man. In fact, he was in the pivotal point of Israel's life. Samuel became the first prophet. Can you imagine being the mother of the first prophet of Israel to give advice to the people, and the judges were gone? And Samuel was a good prophet, a good leader. He warned them when they asked for a king what was going to happen to him. He said, even asked him, he said, hadn't God been good to you? Why do you want to bring some man in to rule over you when God's been good to you? But the people insisted, and that was part of Israel's problem. But Samuel was their first prophet. And can you imagine the conversations that he and his mother had as he grew up and became that strong man of God? Can you imagine her joy and seeing that little boy that she remembered taking those coats to year after year, seeing that young man fill out and become that great man of God that he became. I can tell you, when my son was little, we talked. He and I would talk a lot. And when he got into his teen years, there were some pretty heated conversations at times. But one of us would talk and the other would listen. But my son is 51 now, and we communicate. He will tell me what God is doing in his life, and I tell him what God is doing in my life. And I can tell you, those are some of the most marvelous conversations in the world, and how I joy in hearing what God's doing to him and for him. And he the same with me. I can only imagine that was Hannah's joy, as Samuel would tell her what he was learning. And I'm sure Eli looked at this little guy and thought, boy, what I've got in my hands here, and probably brought back a lot of God's love to him to see this little boy develop and listen and love God. He probably taught Eli a lot. I pray that we'll remember God's admonition to us in Ephesians, where he says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture." It means to cultivate, encourage, develop, support, take care of. Bring your children up in the nurture, to take care of them, encourage them, and admonition, warn them, talk to them about the Lord, tell them of the things the Lord does. Take every opportunity you can get, and it doesn't just have to be your child. As God gives me opportunity, I teach at our elementary school here every Monday. We have a little program after school called the Good News Club, and I get to go and teach the little kindergartners God's Word for about an hour and a half on Monday afternoon, and I can tell you it is wonderful. It is wonderful to get to be around those little guys again. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." It means don't make our kids angry and discourage them by the way we treat them. How many times have parents said just hateful, hard words to kids that they don't get over? You never get rid of words. They get in your head, and you never get rid of them. And only the grace of God can oil over that, where those kids who have been damaged emotionally by parents that didn't know how to talk to them. So I pray that this life of Hannah's has taught us some things about talking to our kids. And I'd like to close with this, that we live in this. We can live in this culture. We can't do anything, but we're not like this culture. And I pray that your life is an example of godly living. Deuteronomy says that we can, when we walk with our kids and sit down and all the time talk with our children, with our neighbors. Malachi says in Malachi 3:16, there's a wonderful verse, says that, let me get it, because it's too good not to quote to you exactly. Let me get over here to Malachi. This is a wonderful verse for us, Malachi 3:16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son, his own son that serveth him." The Bible says that God said there is a book of remembrance, and every time you and I talk about the Lord or think on his name, he writes something in that book. I don't know exactly what, but it's a book that every time we think on his name or talk of him, there's some writing going on. I pray we've got big, thick, lots of pages books, that we talk about the Lord a lot and think on him a lot and share that with our children. Malachi 2:15 said that God made marriage to be honorable so that we'd have godly seed, that we would raise godly children. And I pray that for you young mothers and for us as grandmothers, that we'll take every advantage, every opportunity we can to tell our children of the Lord, to teach them of his goodness, and to talk to them, to nurture them, to admonish them with the word of God, and to admonish them in love, never in anger or spite, but always to make them better for God. They're God's property, and we're stewards. We should be taking good care of what God sends to us. I pray this was a blessing to you tonight, because it sure is to me. Every time I study this lady and recall her and this little boy, it reminds me of me and mine, so I'm always glad to visit Hannah and talk to her about little Samuel, because it reminds me of my relationship with my son. So I'm always glad to get back with her. But I pray this has been a blessing, and next month we'll look at Jesus' mother, Mary. She was a ordinary woman and had an extraordinary calling, but so do we all. As God gives us his grace and mercy and saves us, we have a special purpose, and I pray that we fulfill it as we learn what he wants us to do and then do it with all of our hearts. I love you, ladies. This has been a blessing tonight.
Yes, it has, and I really appreciate your time and your energy and all the things you do for all those out there in this world.
Thank you.
It's been definitely an eye-opening, and I can feel what Hannah went through by what I had to go through as a mother in the military.
Amen. I'm glad you shared that. I forgot. I didn't even think about that. There are a lot of women today that are doing that.
Serving our country and leaving the children behind is real hard to do, especially.
I can only imagine.
You
we need to pray for those. We need to make that a matter of prayer, don't we, Marilyn? These women go and have to leave their children, we need to pray for them.
Yes, we do. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As always, good. The magnificent stuff. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the blessings and for blessing and for you. We love you very much. I'm getting some background noise.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. I love y'all too, Brother Peter. And I keep you in my prayers, and we'll talk, okay?
All right, sister. I certainly appreciate it. Somebody listening in is listening to...
Your son, and I just wanted to tell my mom I love her. And,
thank you, Todd.
And I know you had to do what you had to do, Mom. I don't blame you for any of that.
Well, just keep your eyes on the Lord, son, because I love you and the Lord loves you too, and I always try to do what is right. Nana says she loves you too. So be careful driving home. We'll see you when you get here.
Okay.
Bless you, brother.
All right.
For those of you in the listening area of Imperial Beach, California, at 1041 Connecticut Street in Imperial Beach, on this Sunday evening at 5:30, Lawrence Bowman, a missionary to Mali, Africa, is going to be speaking. The church here supported Brother Lawrence on his preparing to go. He's written some great books on soul winning, and we'd love to have you join us. Again, it's at 1041 Connecticut Street at our home. We have an area set up where Brother Bowman's going to come and speak. And we're going to give them an opportunity to tell us of the wonderful things that's going on. For those of you that don't know about Mali, Africa, what happens is children who are abandoned and don't have any parent or relative to take them in or anywhere else to take them in, they're taken by the government and brought into the jungles and left there. And as they say, for nature to take its course. Imagine that.
And so Brother Bowman's involved with a ministry that is helping to build orphanages for these children to go to. And some of these places have been there for many years now. And those children that they've rescued have grown up into strong Christians, and they're teaching and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Brother Bowman's going to be here again on this coming Sunday night at 5:30, and it's open to the general public. You're welcome to come and join us and to hear what Brother Bowman has to say, Lawrence Bowman. And Sister Joanne, I love you. We thank the Lord for you. You know, while you were teaching and preaching, I'm on the side, and I happened to pick up a article here on historians, and that one of them was Michael Paulovich, and he claims that, you know, Jesus, of 126 ancient writers, that Jesus didn't exist. And the author gives a great, great, dissertation, an apologetic about how Christ did live, and that Tacitus wrote about him in A.D. 56 and called him Christus in the Roman, or Christ, and Josephus in his Antiquities called Jesus James, the brother of Jesus, writing about James, and the other biblical references, and of course, you know, the New Testament writers, that we shouldn't count them, they're not writers, right? But you know what the ironic thing is? And I put this out not only to Christian women but Christian men that are listening too, that we ought to be real careful. In the middle of this article, there's a little section here, and this is what it says. It says, and it probably is worth mentioning that there are, of course, writers from the first century CE who refer to Jesus and even write quite extensively about him. And so now here's a Christian author. And he goes to CE, and CE in the date means common era, the common era. And so what they've done is modern society is trying to get rid of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And instead of having AD, they put CE.
Yeah.
And so here's a Christian who's writing an apologetic defending Christ and yet cites CE, common era.
Yep.
Common error instead of putting AD. And you know what?
Yep.
And so Christians, you know, this is a common, you know, it makes you wonder, how could somebody be so right and then put something like that, make it so wrong? Detracts from that. And so we ought, those who are teaching and preaching, pastors, I know there's some pastors out there listening. John Hill, Brother Schuler is a pastor in South Carolina, and Brother D.L. Brown, who is the president of this Enterprisement Media, which gives us this guest spot free of charge every Thursday night. There's pastors out here, and we need to be careful about that. And I wanted to mention, it's something the Lord put on my heart. But I want to thank you, sister. I want you to know that Savannah stayed here, sat here with Marilyn, and she has her notebook, and she was reading the scriptures, and she wrote about a page full or a little more, two pages, she said, of notes.
Amen.
And so, you know, God's good. And we thank you for your blessing. If there's anybody who would like to call in, you can still call in. And this is a one-time offer. I have never done this before, but I'm going to offer a copy of this program on CD to anybody who would either call in before the program's over or email. Sister Joanne, what is your email that they can reach you?
Okay, thank you. It's all lowercase, Joe, JoAnnaWoody, at hotmail.com.
Say that one more time, please.
Okay. Joe Anna Woody at hotmail.com, and that's JoAnnaWoody at hotmail.com, HOTMAIL.com.
Or you can reach me, Dr. Ventura, at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And if you contact either Sister Joanne, she'll let me know, or you can contact me with the email, and we'll be more than happy to send a copy of this to you. Just send us, just let us know where to send it, and we'll send a copy of this program out. We'll make it special for you, And we don't, you know, we do record them, and so we are capable of sending you a copy of this program. And we'd like to do that, so if you'd like to have it and share it with somebody. And it's free of charge. We don't charge for anything on this program. We want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ, and maybe you can relate to Hannah and some of the things that Sister Joanna said, and Marilyn, and that you feel that you need to know Jesus Christ, if you just repent and turn from your sins and just go to the Lord. Listen, God's a reasonable God. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And you know what? God's a reasonable God. He doesn't want to send anybody to hell. Nobody has to be separated from God for all eternity. But God's not going to make a person love you, and God's not going to make you earn your way to heaven. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to pay for your sins. And that shed blood of Jesus pays for your sins, and you don't have to earn. You can't be good enough to get to heaven, and that's why Jesus came. And so if you would just ask God, just scripture says in Romans, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for with thy mouth confession is made," and it's a heart belief. And so if you just pray right now and ask Jesus Christ, say, "You know, Lord, I'm just tired of this life. I'm a sinner, and I want to change that, Lord, and I repent, I turn away from that sin, and I'm coming to you, Jesus Christ, and I'm asking you, Lord, to accept me. Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior." And God will bless you. God will bless you. He doesn't lie. He said if you would call upon his name, if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So if you're out there and you're unsaved and you've just prayed that prayer, well, welcome to the family of God. We have some literature for you. Again, you can go to either email or to Nathan on the spot. And Brother John Hill will be there to receive your call. You can call after the program's over. He'll take the information, and I'll make sure I have some good information for young Christians and who have just received Christ as their Lord and Savior. It'll help you in your walk. And find a good church that uses the King James Bible, and that's how you'll know you're headed in the right direction, because the King James Bible is the proper Bible. I want to thank you again for joining us this evening. I hope you'll join us next month on the 17th of December for the ladies' Christian broadcast. You can catch, I'm teaching myself basic doctrine. We've gone back to some basics, and it'll help an older Christian remember what he's forgotten, and some younger Christians to get rooted and grounded. And so if you tune in next Thursday night at 6 o'clock, we'd love to have you. I want to thank Brother Joe Gibson for his encouragement down in North Carolina. Brother Joe has written a book by Joel Hobnett. He is the writer of the book, and it's about Brother Gibson. And he's offered it here on the program. And if you contact us, we can see that you can get a copy of that. It's a true story. It's a Christian struggle behind the walls in prison, and how the system failed him, and how, you know, he almost lost his life, and he was left in the street for dead in front of a probation office, and that thing went to court, and the jury was so frightened that they requested to be dismissed. And so, and Joe's never received justice, and maybe his story will bring him some justice. And so we're trying to put that out there for Brother Joe Gibson, whom we love. Brother Kermit needs prayer, and Doc's 90 years old, and his wife, and they come to the church and play the guitar and preach like a 20-year-old, but they had some health issues, and we need some prayer for them. And so if you'll keep that in mind, I want to thank Savannah for coming here and being with us, and the rest of the church, Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beach, and the Imperial Beach Bible Baptist Bible Study. I want to thank you all for your support and prayers. Sister Joanna, we love you, you know.
Love y'all. Love you dearly.
And we thank you for the time that you take out of your busy schedule. Can you tell us a little bit about this prison ministry?
Yes, I'll be glad to. My husband started it in 1973. We were in ministry for 37 years before he was called home this year on February 17th, and the Lord laid it on my heart to pick it up. And I am presently helping 27 chaplains in prisons all over America, sending Bibles and Jack Chick tracts and books and Mark Cahill books and good godly literature into these men and women, and sent out I started keeping records real good in the end of June. There's been over 567 individual packages that have gone out to young men and women in prisons all over America, even one in South Africa and Cuba. And and I have opportunity now to visit a prisoner and to visit a chaplain. So the Lord's opening some doors that hopefully I'll be able to get into some prisons and, you know, maybe talk to some of the guys and help the chaplains while I'm there, that kind of thing. That's what my goal is for this year, is to, you know, get back in, physically back into the prisons. I really love that. And so I'm praying that I can do that again. And God is good.
Amen. Well, we thank you for your service to the Lord and for submitting to that calling. And you know, it's a funny thing that, you know, I called a pastor today in Connecticut, and I called a tract society that had supplied me with tracts in prison for free. And I called them, and I had lost my phone book, and I didn't know I had the address. I got them, and I called them, and I told them, you know, for 26 years, you ministered to me, and those tracts won many souls to Christ. And I just wanted to call and thank you and let you know that they're producing fruit, because often prison, you know, people send in packages and books in the prisons. They really don't know what's happening and whether it produces any fruit or not. And so, you know, we hope and we pray it does. And so it's good to let them know it does. Your husband was a minister to me also. And he was a blessing to all of us in there, and many souls were won through his ministry. And so we're grateful, and we're grateful that you're continuing supplying them with books. And we wouldn't want anybody to get that crossed up. Sister Joanna is not out preaching in the church to men.
No.
And you know, that type of thing. She's supplying Christian materials to prisoners and to chaplains who are supplying them to prisoners.
Amen.
So if you have a prisoner in your family and he's incarcerated and you'd like to get him some Christian material, you need to contact Sister Joanna or myself, and we'll get in contact with him.
Even sure if they're will.
We'll send him stuff anyway. We'll annoy him.
Amen. 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 Amen.
All right.
Just had a...
Well,
okay.
All right, I'm going to pray us out. Holy Father, we thank you for this message tonight, this powerful message on Hannah. We thank you for leaving us the Bible, Lord, as an example and an end sample, and that we can look back in these lives and know, Lord, what you've done, and that the Bible says, Jesus Christ, your Son, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever is written, Lord, can help us today. It's not just some ancient manuscripts, and we thank you for that, Holy Father. We thank you for this program. We thank you and ask you to bless Brother Nathan, who does all the board work behind and the scenes. It's amazing. And Father God, we ask you to bless the listeners and to bless them and those who are sick, and that you would heal them, Father, from the crown of their heads to the tip of their toes, Lord. And God, that you would help them physically, spiritually, financially, mentally, emotionally. Lord, you know what their needs are better than I do, Father God. And we just want you to reach out to our listeners, touch their hearts, bless them, and help this lesson to help them, Lord, this week. And we thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Love
Sister
y'all.
Sister Joanna wants to say goodnight to you, Joanna. Sister Joanna.
Good night.
Okay. Good night, Samantha. Thank you for staying with us.
Oh, you're welcome. You attend the good news class too, right?
Yes, but every Thursday.
Yeah, Savannah attends a good news class at her school.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I love it.
In fact, she just won a prize for scripture memory.
Oh, good for her. Good for it. Boy, that's when you learn it, when you're little. All that I learned when I was little, I haven't forgotten. So that's wonderful. You keep it up, Samantha.
Savannah.
Savannah,
just
oh,
like
I'm
Georgia.
Sorry,
just
Savannah.
Like Georgia.
Savannah, I'm sorry, and I love Savannah. I love that name. Y'all have a great night.
You too, brother. Amen, brother Nathan. Here, we turn it over to you.
evolve.